guy Joe Blake with you here, Western Kansas Broadcasting. We've got cornerback Melo Dotson. Melo, got a big year coming up, first team all preseason Big 12 team. Just what are your expectations for Kansas this year?
I feel like my expectations are, of course, defending the ball, getting turnovers, and helping that defense take that next step to become one of those great defenses and not an average defense.
Right. You know, both you and Kobe Bryant, you know, you guys both have a good combination of you can take away one side of the field, but also when the ball comes to you, you can make those plays. Just talk about, you know, that good balance you guys have.
I feel like me and Kobe push each other to be the best as we can. I was telling someone, Kobe bring energy every day. Like, if you have that one person, like, even if you're having a down day, if you have that person in the room who never have a down day and always happy and got all this energy, like, it's hard for you to just walk around and mope around. Like, you gotta have energy. So I feel like playing beside Kobe is amazing.
For sure, yeah. Kobe Bryant, definitely an infectious personality. And, you know, kind of what the stereotypical cornerback is, you know. You got right. A lot of personality out there. You know, and he's a pretty good trash talker, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. I'm literally the total opposite of him.
Yeah. And, you know, you can lock a receiver up just without all the talking and, you know, just take away one side of the field. You know, you had those back-to-back pick sixes. You had the Oklahoma one, which was a big play in the beginning of the game. You had the Iowa State one. You know, are those your favorite plays last year?
Of course. I haven't scored a touchdown since high school.
Right.
So those plays was definitely amazing to me. The first one didn't feel real at all, but the second one, like, I was like, okay. I'm in my groove now.
Yeah, for sure. And you guys, you're going to be an improving defense this upcoming year. You did lose Rich Miller, but talk about the progression, because everybody at the spring practices was talking about the progression of Cornell Wheeler and at that middle linebacker spot, such an important spot on the field.
Losing Rich was big because, like, he was like the teacher of the defense. Like, he knew it inside out. And I feel like Cornell is taking that same approach. Like, he wanting to lead the defense, make us do walkthroughs on weekends and stuff like that. So I feel like Cornell stepping up going to be a big role in our defense.
And, you know, all the talk is about you and Kobe at the cornerback spots, but also you've got some returning consistency in Marvin Grant and O.J. Burrows at the safety spots. What's it going to be like having those two over the top?
O.J. is also, like, one of those teachers of the defense. Like, he know it inside out. I'm not saying no one else don't, but, like, he know everything, you know. So having him back there with that confidence to get the plays out loud, vocally, him and Marvin just two excellent pieces to our defense.
And you've got a new cornerbacks coach in DK McDonald. How's that been? You know, he's worked with some of the top corners in the NFL, and now he's getting to spread his knowledge onto you.
I feel like him coming from the NFL and coaching the guys that he coached is big for me and Kobe, and also the younger guys in our room, because, like, he know what it takes. Like, he watched them work every day, so he know what it takes to get where we're trying to go. So I feel like having him is awesome, and it's going to be a good year.
Good. And, you know, all the talk, you and Kobe right now, but you've got those guys below you, and last year you had Quentin Lassiter who could come in. You know, he was a very solid, been in the program for a long time. You know, who are some of the guys to look out for, you know, if something were to happen to you or Kobe?
The guys to look out for are Jalen Todd, Jameel Croft, Jacoby Davis.
Yeah.
Those. we got Austin Alexander, too, so.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to name the whole room.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah. Yeah, but, you know,
the
very, very deep room. And, you know, Jalen Todd, he's one of the, in my opinion, one of the most underrated players in this class, because there's been a lot of talk about the DNs that KU was bringing in. But talk about Jalen Todd, because he was the one that I've been most impressed with.
Jalen Todd, literally my size, if not bigger. I lost to him in the race twice, so.
And you're not slow either. You're
that man different.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of speed, Coach Gildersleeve, handing out the speeding tickets, and I know you've gotten a couple speeding tickets, haven't you?
My highest one was probably like 21 something. I don't know what the point was after that, but
yeah,
man, it's a lot of people who fast on that team.
Oh yeah, and you know, just talk about the overall development with Coach Gildersleeve, because you know you're definitely trying to build up your strength too.
I mean, like when recruits come in, like he showed pictures from when a person first started with him to now. So sometimes when on off days when the recruits in there, you can catch him showing those recruits like his work. I feel like looking at those pictures, like you won't even notice like you getting big, but
yeah,
you done got big over a course of time. So working with him is definitely like something that's played a big role in my life.
Yeah, and who are some of the guys that really stick out in the weight room that maybe we don't get to see every day on the field, or you know, that are guys that are going to come up this year and you've just seen their work in the weight room?
I'd probably say Trevor Wilson, Jason Gilliam.
Yeah.
Devin Dye, Jalen Dye. There's a lot of people who lift a lot of weight that you wouldn't even expect.
Right. All right. Well, Melo, thank you for coming on with us,
and we
appreciate your time, and good luck this season.
Thank
you. All right. We've got Jeremy Robinson here. Jeremy, got a big year coming up for the Kansas Jayhawks, and yeah, you are the returning sack leader coming back this year. What are your expectations for the pass rush?
My expectations is to get my whole D-line into it, you know. Of course, I want the numbers and to beat what I did last year. But, yeah, it's just I want across the board, across the whole D-line, to everybody to cause havoc.
For sure. And, you know, 2 years ago, there were questions about the pass rush. Lonnie Phelps comes in, has a great year.
Yep.
Same last year with Austin Booker, you know. Are there any guys that, you know, we may not know much about that are going to come in and, you know, be big presences in opponent backfields?
Oh yeah, we got a lot of good guys. Dean Miller, CT, or Caleb Taylor.
Yeah.
We got Dylan Wookie. We got a handful of young guys that are hungry and ready to roll. So we got some guys that's ready to play.
Yeah, I got a chance to talk with Dean at one of the spring media sessions, mm-hmm. and I mean he has really bulked up.
He has. He's really, really leaned out.
Yeah. Talk about the work that Coach Gildersleeve does, because I mean that's been one of the biggest points of development is right there in the weight room, not only with the strength but also the speed of the team.
Right. No. All I can remember is when they first got here after our first season, Coach Lee sitting me down and we were talking about how underweight we were and we were like 20 pounds behind everybody else in the 12. And it's just nice to see how much we've caught up and excelled past some teams and hopefully we can just keep riding it.
For sure. And then want to move to the linebacking core, because you lose Rich Miller, who was the captain of that defense. He was calling all the shots at the Mike linebacker spot. But now Cornell Wheeler, we heard a lot of good things about him in the spring. What have you seen from him that's really helped develop the defense?
No, I think Cornell has stepped up into those shoes that we need. I think that he's going to play fast. Along with him, there is J.B. Brown.
Right.
He's an electric guy. He's going to give you all he has. And
that hit against Oklahoma.
He's a dangerous guy. So, like, I think our backers are going to really be something special.
That's good. And then into the secondary, how good is it to have, you know, as a pass rusher to know, okay, maybe I might not get to the might get a little more time to get to the quarterback because you got two first team preseason all Big 12 corners out there.
Yeah, them guys are real special. They help me. They look out for me all the time, and I'm just glad they're on my side.
Yeah, for sure. And then at the safety spot, you know, O.J. Burrows and Marvin Grant, two guys that I don't think enough people are talking about, because those two, they've had some good moments, and, you know, they're going to be third-year guys in the program at least. So, well, what have you seen from those two?
Yeah, they're special guys. They're hard hitters. They come downhill, flying downhill, actually. They love to talk out our defense and get us in the right positions to make plays.
Yeah. And, you know, just talk about the overall culture building that's gone on at the University of Kansas, because, you know, obviously there were some dark days before, you know, the 2022 season. You know, just talk about what you've seen in the development of culture in Lawrence.
Yeah, it's actually we've put it all together now. Like it's not just a football team in Lawrence. It's like we've all come together and use our city to actually help us in gaining the momentum we need for football.
Right. And you know, they're just you got the games up in Kansas City this year.
Yep.
You know, how different is that going to be? Just, you know, you're probably going to miss being in front of the Lawrence crowd and, you know, the hometown fans, but playing in Kansas City, that's a different sort of opportunity.
Yeah, I think it is a different opportunity. It's going to be different at first, but it's definitely going to be something we get used to, and I assure you it's probably not going to be a problem. It's one of the best football fields around the country, so we're glad we get to play on it.
Right, you get to play in the same stadium as the Super Bowl champions,
right.
You know. And then you've got those first two games at Children's Mercy Park and
yep.
on the Kansas side, you know, keeping the team in state. But you guys have stayed in Kansas City before home games before, right?
Yes. We did one time, I believe that was the first game. So, like, we're not foreign to it.
We
know what we got to do. We know how we got to get there, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, just an exciting time, you know. You're building a program on the practice field, in the weight room, and then on the outside, they're building a stadium that's going to, you know, replicate that.
Yeah.
Just, you know, how is that to see?
No, it's nice. Every day it's in our backyard where we work out, where we condition at. So it's nice to see it. You can kind of see, like, the pictures of what they're doing and versus, mm-hmm. like, what it is in real life is kind of coming all together.
Right.
It's looking nice. It's looking nice.
And, you know, just a very special time to be at Kansas and to have built something like that, you know. And just what is it for the younger guys? Because there are a lot of guys that are coming in. They weren't necessarily there for the rebuild. They're there now that it's, you know, a little more glamorous to be there. Just what kind of lessons are you teaching the younger guys that, you know, weren't there for that rebuild?
The biggest lesson I'm teaching them is just keep your head down, keep working. You want more, you have to put in more work and show up every day.
Right. All right. Well, thank you, Jeremy, for coming on. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for your time, and good luck this season.
Appreciate you.
All right. We are here with Kansas running back Devin Neal, the Lawrence native. Devin, you know, a lot of talk at the end of your junior season last year. Is he going to go to the NFL? Mm-hmm. Is he going to come back to Kansas? I guess the question is, what inspired you to stay at Kansas?
I reflected on it a lot, you know, and I was close to going, honestly. But, you know, I talked to, you know, my family. I talked to Coach Lee, who's a big person in my life. I talked to Coach Leipold, all the staff. And, you know, ultimately, you know, I didn't want to look back and regret the decision on not finishing what I started, right? And
mm-hmm.
I always wanted to be a part of this team. I wanted to be a part of a Big 12 championship, be part of, you know, playoff berth and a national championship possibly. And, you know, I think what really set it off was Coach Sleeves asked me a question. He's like, when we get to next January and we are in the Big 12 championship or, you know, playoff berth, how would you feel then? And, you know, I really thought about it. And, you know, that would hurt, you know, because
right.
I want to be a part of that team, right? And so I think that ultimately led to it wasn't, you know, money. It wasn't anything else but my own personal desire of finishing what I started.
Yeah, and, you know, you just listed off a lot of team accomplishments
yeah.
right there. But the overwhelming thing
yeah.
is that you have a very good chance, if you're healthy, to become KU's all-time leading rusher.
Yeah.
I know you just talked about all those team things,
yeah.
but what does that individual accomplishment mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that took a factor in too. And, you know, that's really cool just because, you know, I always remember just my journey to get here, right? And, you know, just – freshman year, not knowing what's happening, then just getting thrown into the fire, literally. And so, you know, I've just been super blessed to be in this position, and to do it for my hometown school means a lot to me, and I know it means a lot to my family as well. And, yeah, I mean, it's super cool. And, you know, my emotions really haven't hit yet when it happened, but
mm-hmm.
when it does happen, you know, I'm going to be super excited. And, yeah, I'm going to reflect on it for sure. It's going to be really cool.
Yeah, and, you know, last year in Dallas we talked with you, and you had trained with Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
And, you know, have you done anything? I know you were out in L.A. with J.D. You know,
yeah.
have you had any notable sessions that, you know, that stick out this summer?
Yeah, I mean, I just got back from Tampa, in the same spot. You know, there's a bunch of NFL guys. Anzalone was there. I was picking his brain, just linebacker play
oh, yeah.
in general, because, you know, running backs and LBs are kind of
mm-hmm.
neck and neck with competition. So, you know, there's a bunch of NFL guys that I met, and, you know, there's a Mizzou guy that, you know, I'm cool with.
Yeah.
You know, he played last year. He just got drafted. And then I was training with Deuce Vaughn a little bit.
So but you're not, just interacting with all the rivals.
But, you know, genuinely, though, they're really good people. Right. Obviously, off the field, you know, we don't have that same rivalry. But, you know, just picking their brain about what it's like to be in NFL. And then just a bunch, like Trey Benson, a big name, from Mississippi. So he knows all my people. I know his people. And so it's really cool just to connect with a bunch of guys who, you know, are living out the same dreams. And obviously Trey and I are in the same, we would be in the same class, but, you know, we talked a lot and we just got good working for sure.
Yeah. And I want to talk about your podcast In the Mix with 4 and 6, you know, just how's that going?
Yeah, no, it's fun. Me and JD thought it was important to do not only, you know, I really just to show, you know, what we're like off the field and how we act on that is how we act really every day. And, you know, obviously the last episode was more of a serious talk, but, you know, I just think those type of things are important just because, you know, we play football, we have a helmet, there's 108 people on the roster. You never know how people really are, right?
Yeah.
And so just to be able to have the opportunity to do that, it's just fun and it's cool at the same time.
Yeah, I liked how you mentioned that in the podcast, you know, get to know the guy underneath the helmet, and it's football's a different sport in that aspect, you know. Yeah. Obviously, Kansas known for its basketball. Yeah, you get to see those faces, you see them around town. Yeah. People may not necessarily recognize the football players just because of the helmet.
Yeah, and I think there's like a stigma around football guys that they're just naturally aggressive and just meathead type dudes. And it's mostly the quite opposite. Obviously, you have those type of dudes, but, you know, as you can see in our podcast, me and JD are pretty laid back, just chill. You can come up to us and really talk to us. And, like, I always say, I'm just a normal human, dude. When I'm out, if you see me, come say hi. I'll be more than happy to say what's up, so.
All right. Well, that was our time with the real deal, Devin Neal. We appreciate you coming on, and good luck this season.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Sure. All right. Here with Kansas quarterback Jalen Daniels. And Jalen, coming into this season, there's a lot of expectation for this Kansas team, something that when you came into the Kansas program, really not nearly as much expectation. Just how have you seen that shift throughout your time here?
Yeah, I mean, we've been able to see the amount of excitement, especially from our fans, you feel me, go all the way up. And to be able to go out there every single Saturday, see the enthusiasm and how courageous our fans are, especially about us playing football, it's amazing. It's something that, you know, you wished for as a freshman, and now that we're here going into year 5, we know it's there, and you know, it's exciting to have it.
Yeah, and, you know, new stadium being built. You guys are going to be playing in Kansas City. Just what are your thoughts on that and on the new stadium?
Yeah, I mean, to be able to go throw touchdowns where Patrick Mahomes throws touchdowns it's not very often that you get the chance to do that, let alone playing in an NFL stadium. I've never gotten the chance to play in an NFL stadium, so this will be the first time to do so. And I'm just definitely looking forward to it, looking forward to all the fans that will be there, and looking forward to being in that Kansas City Chiefs locker room.
Yeah, and, you know, I remember when you guys played Duke in 2022, and it was really the first time in your career that the stands were filled for the game. And you talked after the game. You said, you know, I wish there was a tunnel that we could come out of and then really see the fans. And that's going to be a reality at the next new stadium. Just what does it mean to have them implement something like that for you?
Yeah, I mean, it shows how much, you know, belief that they have in our program, how much belief that they have in Coach Leipold and in our coaching staff and our players. It just shows that the work that we've been putting in every single year, every single month, every single week, every single day, every single snap that's being played is paying off. And for a lot of us older guys, I know that they're calling us old now. It's kind of crazy to me. But for a lot of us older guys, the objective of leaving Kansas is to leave it better than we found it, which is one of our core principles that we go about in our program.
Yeah, and I want to talk about your podcasting career In the Mix with 4 and 6.
Yes,
you had Devin Neal out to L.A. and
the
Yeah, so how's that been? You know, and you know, just describe, you know, why you wanted to do something like that, and just how it's been going.
Yeah, I mean, me and Devin wanted to be able to show everyone a glimpse of our lives outside of just being in a uniform and a helmet, outside of just media asking questions and us giving an answer to those questions. We wanted to be able to show everybody who we are outside of just being a football player. And in doing so, we've been blessed with the opportunity to be able to go to my podcast studio that I have back home, being able to go to that podcast studio and be able to record everything. I mean, I've got the chance to be able to bring Devin Neal, the real deal Devin Neal, from Lawrence, Kansas to Los Angeles, California. Right. It was definitely a totally different feel for him. And I live for those type of experiences. There's been a lot of my teammates that have actually never been to the West Coast that come to L.A. with me to be able to see how L.A. is. And Devin Neal being one of those people was absolutely amazing.
Right. And now, you know, you wanted to play a Pac-12 team in each of the bowl games.
Yeah.
And now in the Big 12, not necessarily California schools like you necessarily like, but you've got the Arizonas in there. You've got Utah, you know, just – what do you see about the new landscape of the Big 12?
Yeah, being a kid from Los Angeles, you know, we only thing I really knew growing up was SEC and Pac-12. And, you know, when I did go to the Big 12, I kind of, like you just said, relied on bowl games being the games where we'll be able to see Pac-12 teams. But now we're going against the Arizona States, the Arizonas, the Utahs, the Colorados, they're all being Pac-12 teams. And, you know, I'm looking forward to being able to go to Arizona State, which is probably be my family game because it's 4 hours away from home and all of my people from L.A. will end up going there. So, you know, it's surreal to be able to say that I'm going against these Pac-12 teams that I grew up watching.
Yeah, and I want to talk about your quarterback room because Cole Ballard got a chance last year to play some snaps.
Yeah.
And then Zeke Marshall.
Another guy.
And, you know, he's been chill, nonchalant ever since he stepped on campus. What have you seen from him?
Isaiah is as cool as a ceiling fan, man. Real talk. I mean, it doesn't seem like we haven't gotten the chance to be able to see him in game yet, but one thing I think him and Cole Ballard have in common is that not too much rattles them. I've seen Cole Ballard go out there and go against our rivals as a starting quarterback, as a walk-on for his first starting game, and it was cool.
Yeah.
It didn't faze him. It's not like he had a nervous face on his look. It's not as if he was like, JD, I don't know how to feel about this. He was prepared. He was ready to go. And I feel as if Isaiah Marshall brings in that same thing. I don't think anything will rattle them. I don't think anything is going to get in between them wanting to go out there and be able to help their team win.
And then as far as who you're throwing the ball to, you've got a fantastic starting trio in Skinner, Grimm, and Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've also got guys like Trevor Wilson, who's a big play threat. And then you got Doug Emelian, one of the best downfield blockers I've seen, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. Just really. Talk about that wide receiver room.
You know, to be able to see the amount of unselfishness that is in that room, knowing that there's five plus guys, actually. There's some names that you left out are going to be called out this year,
Kebeka.
Believe.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's names that were left out that are going to be making plays this year as well. So I'd say being able to see how unselfish that room is, knowing that, you know, we're only going to get this many amount of passes each game, and you may not get the receptions that you want, but when the ball comes your way, I know that they're going to make plays with it. I know that they're eager to make the play when the ball hits their hands.
Right. And you got a new offensive coordinator, and, you know, with Coach Goldenicki, everything was in the shotgun. And at his first press conference, he said that, you know, they wouldn't be afraid to go under center. How is that adjustment looking for you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, I haven't been under center since high school. My senior year, junior year of high school, I was on the under center team. And, you know, for me, I feel like it'll just allow me to be able to show the world that I'm not just a shotgun center. I'm not just a spread guy. I feel as if, you know, I'll be able to show the world that there's some versatility within my game. I don't have to just be a shotgun guy, because at the end of the day in the NFL, you can't just be a shotgun guy.
Right.
I believe 32 out of 32 teams, if I'm not mistaken, go under center at some point.
Yep.
So, I just think that it'll allow me to be able to show that ability.
And I want to go back to that wide receiver room real quick, because just to hit on their unselfishness, the UCF game last year, Jason Bean only threw the ball 11 times, I think, in that one. And that was a real ground-and-pound kind of game for you guys. And you got the win. Didn't see any bad body language from them. I asked them about it in the press conference in the week following, and they seemed all cool with it.
Yeah, because we won that game.
Right.
At the end of the day, you can't be mad if we're winning. Like, the standard of our program doesn't allow you to. We focused on – we're so focused on our process that the outcome doesn't faze us if we're getting the outcome that we want. Like, yeah, we may not be able to reach our personal goals that game, but at the end of the day, what we say is it's a we over me mentality. You have to be worried about the team before your own actions. You have to be worried about your teammates' goals and your teammates' attributes to the team before just worrying about your own.
Well, Jalen, I appreciate you taking the time to come over here. That was quarterback Jalen Daniels of the Kansas Jayhawks. And good luck this season, and looking forward to seeing you in action.
Yes, I appreciate you, my guy.
Appreciate it.